So if you want to open your book where it says scenarios, that's going to be where we start. Scenarios. It's right after the surveys. We're going to have to share these.
Here we go.
Yep, Decision Labs, and it says Bible study scenario one. We will give you guys an opportunity to ask questions, but we just want to get started with a couple scenarios. So who's ever been in a Bible study here before? Who has ever been asked a really, really hard question? Stuart's raising his hand. He's ready to jump out of his chair. So, and who's been given a difficult response to the answer God has given? I've had those difficult responses. People do not always agree with what the Bible says and what we teach them. So the best way to respond, that's what we're going to talk about right now. So if you want to open up to Bible study scenario number one. You take over. This is you.
Okay, so this is well, really, I would like to, we should have cut these in two and had two different people play it out, but if you look at Decision Bible Study, the Bible Worker copy, which would be you, it says you've been studying with a person who has been excited about the studies. After studying with them about the Sabbath, you invite the contact to church, and they are excited to come. The contact has a great time at church, meeting different people and taking some literature on health from the literature rack. The contact is very interested in becoming more healthy. When you go to the study with the contact following week, the contact seems a little standoffish. So you ask the contact if they have any questions from the previous week. And then the scenario, here's what they're thinking. You've been studying the Bible. You've been studying with a Bible worker and been learning a lot about the Bible. When the Bible worker studies with you about the Sabbath, you're very excited about this truth. You have always wondered why people went to church on Sunday when it was obvious that Saturday was the seventh day. The Bible worker invites you to go to church, and you are thrilled to go to church on the Sabbath day. Church is a great experience. Everyone is very friendly, and the service is a blessing. After the service, you see a literature rack, find some health materials. You're interested in health and take several pamphlets. When you get home and begin reading through one of the magazines and covers, the dangers of caffeine. You are an avid coffee drinker, do not like where this is going. You read the rest of the article, and at the end, it appeals to the reader to eliminate caffeine from your diet. This upsets you very much because you don't know how you could live without caffeine. You cannot agree with what the magazine has said, and if the church believes what the magazine has said, you cannot be a part of that church. When the Bible worker comes next week, you act standoffish. He asked if you have any questions from the previous studies, and you begin to argue the validity and importance of the Sabbath. You say, well, I've been thinking about the Sabbath, and I wonder if it's really that important. You ask questions like, does it really matter what day we keep? Isn't the important thing to keep a day aside from the Lord? How can we really know that Saturday is the Sabbath? Didn't the calendar change? You really don't have questions about the Sabbath. The real issue is caffeine. And so me and Tony had a lady. I started with her in Pennsylvania. And for the longest time, I took her through a couple sets of Bible studies and just could not get decisions from this lady, and trying to find out what was going on with her. And then finally, she let me know right before Tony came that her son was killed in the war, and she didn't want to go to heaven. That's what she told me. It finally came out that she didn't want to be in heaven. She didn't see how it could be heaven if her son wasn't there. And so I was able to address some of that, and then Tony was able to come in and take it from a different approach. But I took this lady like through two or three sets of Bible studies and could not get commitment from her because I was having trouble finding out what the underlining issue was. It wasn't that she didn't believe any of the information. She just didn't really care that she was going to heaven. She thought it was interested, trusted all of it. Go ahead.
We call her Mama Ruth. We love Mama Ruth. And the biggest problem with her was the heart issue. She picked the information up like it was a sponge. Pastor Chris taught her everything she needed to know. But the problem was she loved her son more than what she loved Jesus. She loved that little boy that she lost who gave his life for his country more. So we had to take it to a different level. And when I say we, I mean Brother Greg and I, because we were the two doing it, and then Brother Greg and Chris beforehand. We brought it together and we went to Steps to Christ, talking about how much God loves her. And with that, we baptized her on January 8th, 2 years ago, and it changed her world. Now what's she doing? She teaches Sabbath school.
She's in charge of the kitchen crew, and there's something else she told me. She still call and check on her.
And she's a deaconess in the church. She is on fire for God. She brings people from her community. She don't care. She's going to tell whoever she can about God.
Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you is, you know, there's different scenarios that's going to happen, and you're not going to be able to know, and we're going to have to discern and be able to ask those questions. When it's just like when our churches sometimes are not a safe place to bring people. It's just like when we went to the Seventh-day Adventist Church the first time, we were downstairs for their fellowship meal, and the first thing they woke up and they tell my wife, who had a one-carat diamond and diamonds all the way around, you know, if you're going to come to this church, you're going to have to lose that jewelry. What? I never heard anything about any jewelry. And luckily, I went and asked the pastor, but I was really thinking, we're in the wrong place. And, you know, so and if I hadn't have went and asked him, he was going to have to call me and find out why I wasn't coming back. And I would have beat around the bush. Well, that's just really not the church for us. We're nobody ever comes right out and tells you, for some reason, what the real issue is. We beat around the bush. We make other excuses. And that's what we're kind of looking at with this scenario here. So this guy, he's already accepted the Sabbath, but now I'm going back and he's asking all kinds of things about the Sabbath. Does it really matter? And I've already covered this. So now I'm going to have to ask questions to try to get to the real issue.
Pastor Walter, so you and I have done Bible studies together as well. So when we realize there's a tough issue, do we still try to go through that Bible study? What do we do?
No, you don't. You pause and you try to investigate a little bit more. Asking questions and listening is a very great tool. Remember, you're not just there to give information. You're there to learn from them, but learn, study the people to the point that it will help you. Whatever they say, it will give you, in a sense, admonition for you to help them come to Jesus. So you have to have your ears attentive. You have to be asking questions. And then many times it's not a theological issue. It might be something different that they're dealing with that you have to address before they accept that.
Yes. I can say a couple we've studied with, Pastor Gustavo and I took over, was they cannot get past the hurt that was happening in their home. So they weren't focused on what we were teaching them. They weren't focused on learning about five keys to a happy marriage. They were focused on the hell that was just going on in their life. And I'm being blunt here. So we had to stop the study, and we had to address the hurt, and we had to pray over them, and we had to say, this Bible study is an important study, but it's not important for what is going on right now. You have to know the situation and see it.
Go ahead.
I have went to studies where we didn't even do a study that week, but I still sat and talked to them for an hour. I went to one study. A lady had just found out she had cancer after she had begun studies, and we sat and talked, and we prayed, and her daughter backed into the side of my Mustang, and she was really tore up. And they were just having a really hard day. But we didn't study the Bible that day. And now I'm sitting here talking to this lady that just found out she got cancer. And next thing you know, the phone rings and her daughter had just left. And she says, I'll be back. And she just leaves me sitting there. And she runs outside. And I'm like, what is going on? And then next thing you know, she's like, Pastor Chris, could you come here? And I'm like, okay. And her daughter is like just bawling. She's like shaking. And she's like, I'm so sorry I hit your car.
And I'm like, Chris started bawling and shaking. And
no, I told her, I said, you know, it's just a car. We have insurance for things like this. Calm down. It's okay. I'll be fine. We'll get it fixed. You come in and let's pray. And so the daughter ended up staying and talking. And then she started attending the Bible studies after that. And so I got a Bible study out of somebody backing into the side of my car.
Addressing the issues at hand are more important. You can be sitting down studying with someone. Maybe a young person is in there, and maybe they haven't eaten that day. And they're not going to be paying attention. They're more concerned about eating or doing something different. And we have to be aware of that. And there's times that you will be sitting down, and the kids are running around and jumping, and you're trying to give a study there. How are you going to handle that? And a lot of times, once again, you have to ask questions. You have to see the need. Once you're there, you cannot just be focusing on, I have to finish giving this content, but rather look around, look at pictures, look at things that they have in their home that will give you clues of where they're coming from, how they interact with their children, and if they have children or pets or whatever, it will give you keys to help them make decisions for Jesus.
I'm sure Walter taught you at the end of every study we're calling for a decision. You can get a lot there, too. You know, say I just finished studying the Sabbath with Tony. Then I'm going to ask him the question, Tony, would you like to begin keeping the Sabbath with me this week?
Absolutely.
No, you're going to say no.
Oh, well, you want me to say no?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. No, man, I don't believe it.
Yeah, so I've got to find out why. After I just showed him plainly from the Bible, why is he not wanting to keep the Sabbath? Why wouldn't you? And so I'm going to be able to ask questions like, Tony, what would prevent you from keeping the Sabbath? And I promise
my
you
job.
That could be something. Usually you never get the true first answer. They'll give you a couple of different excuses before you finally get to the true answer. So they'll say like, well, my job, or the real answer will usually end up being something like, well, my mom and dad went to church every Sunday, and it's just hard for me to believe that they're wrong or something. And then you'll be able to address the true issue of, you know, your mom and dad was saved right where they was at, and I'm sure they really loved Jesus. And if they had the truth that you have here today, they would also want to come and keep Sabbath with you or something along those lines. But people, you have to address those things, because people, you know, I grew up, my whole life was a Sunday church. That's where we went. We were Pentecostal. I grew up with people falling out on the floor and running up and down the aisles. And if you didn't scream when you preached, then what are you actually doing? You got to be anointed by that Spirit. And so you got to meet people where they're at.
What are some of the experiences that you have when obstacles or people challenges?
Yeah. I think it's very important that we're having this conversation, because if you really want to start giving Bible studies, you're going to encounter those things. I think to summarize, and I think it's the information that has been given here is great, but I will probably summarize only two things in my experience when I give Bible studies and talk to people. Don't try to be systematic, and that's what's been mentioned here. Sometimes we're more concerned about the content that we need to give and the truth that we want to present than the person itself. Remember that person is just not a number. It's a soul that needs to be saved by the grace of God. One of the two things that you need to have very clear in your mind is you should be able to distinguish between a principle and a norm. Okay? Principles don't change. Stay the same. And you don't... The Sabbath is a principle. The dress code is the norm. Behind the dress code is... And even jewelry, behind that, is to reflect Christ, right? So the person needs to come to know Christ in order to be able to reflect Christ, right? Mm-hmm. So if you start with jewelry and dress,
that's not going to work.
It's the other way around. You need to present Christ. For the person to understand Christ and experience Christ, and then the outward appearance will change automatically. And some people don't understand those things, and they hit it hard on the jewelry, the dress code, and even the diet, and hitting it hard those are norms. So always you want to seek the principle behind everything.
Remember, the foundation here is Jesus Christ. He makes the changes, not us.
There's an old saying, people don't care what you know until they know how much you care. And when you genuinely care for people, then they're more likely to listen to you and want to know what you have to teach. But until you genuinely care, I still call members from Pennsylvania to check on them to see how they're doing. People that I have studied with that's come into the church, just like Ruth, we still call Ruth
all the time
and check on her. And she's like, ah, Pastor Chris, how you doing? She's always excited to hear her phone call. But we still take time to call all these people that we've studied with over an eight-year period and check on them and encourage them, listen to them, and they know they're cared for. If you have a loving church where people are cared for, I say all the time, we're not trying to be a museum for saints. We want to be a hospital for sinners. If you actually have a hospital where people can be safe and come in and express themselves, if I come into the church and say, hey, I've been taking up drinking, I feel I'm an alcoholic, I don't need to be taken from my positions, kicked out of the church, everybody talking about how horrible I am. I need a bunch of Christians to support me and say, we're going to get through this. We're going to help you knock this habit, and we're going to stand by you, and you got this. But it's a sad case is, and a lot of things, we have museums for saints, and anybody that's not perfect, like the saints, don't fit in, and we got to tell them, take that jewelry off. You need to wear this. You can't dress like that. Or you can't have green hair in this church or whatever. If somebody walks, our church in New Martinsville, you can ask Jesse and Renee, and you could walk in with purple hair, green hair, and whatever you want, and you would feel loved and like you belong there, regardless of what you look like or where you come from. And that's what we've been trying to build there in New Martinsville. Amen. That's the way every church should actually operate. We want to meet people where they are at and show them how much we care. And once we meet their needs, then they will accept the gospel from us.
So let's play a scenario for you guys, and we want to hear from you. So we just get done studying about the Sabbath, and I'm studying with Chris, and he says, why did my pastor keep this from me? What do you say? We need mics to be handed out. All right, where's my runners? Miguel's running for us right now. So, Don, raise your hand up high if you want to respond to it. We're going to take multiple responses.
I'm not quite sure what you should say, but I know you shouldn't say, well, your pastor was wrong, and he lied to you.
No, that's why she's asked. That's what she's asking. So how do you respond to that?
But you don't want to confirm that because you don't want to alienate them.
I'm going to be a little hard here. So, okay, I'm going to go to the next one. And yes, you're right. You don't want to do that. Someone else.
Well, not everybody knows about the Sabbath, and a lot of pastors don't know. And your pastor is probably a really good pastor, and he just hasn't thought about it.
So my pastor's not as smart as your pastor?
No,
he's being hard on you.
I'm being hard on you.
But that's what it sounds like that you're saying.
I appreciate
not everybody
that, yeah.
knows.
Not everybody knows, but this is what I'm trying to get at.
My pastor knows everything.
Exactly. All right, yeah. I understand what you're saying, but I want to move on. Next, okay. Right there in front of her.
I was just going to say that we shouldn't pretend we know what's going on inside that pastor's mind. And our answer needs not to be questioning his motives.
Exactly.
However we handle it, we need to not pretend like we know his motives.
Right. You're right. That's a true statement. Okay. But we need to figure out, how do you answer the question behind? Larry's wife. What is her name? Annabelle.
I will say nobody is criteria. We have to follow. It's only the Bible. If Bible said that, I believe it.
So my pastor's not following the Bible, so he doesn't know the Bible. So does that mean he shouldn't be teaching the Bible? And I have to be hard here. Yeah. We're trying to get to this a certain answer.
This is what people's going to say there, Larry's wife.
I need to be very clear here. I am being difficult. because we have had people be difficult with us. The answer is a certain answer. There is a right answer and only one right answer
and,
here.
I have a lady told me that my pastor was Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay. Dr. Oh, we got two more up here, Miguel. Do we have someone in the up front? All right, well, the gentleman right there in the suspenders. All right.
Well, that did happen to me.
Okay.
And I did go to my pastor, and I asked him why.
Why? Okay, so she went to her pastor. That's good.
And he said, because it's just easier to worship on the Sunday with everybody else. And I said, but if it's not biblical, then why?
Right, so you asked your pastor that, but as the Bible instructor, as the person who just taught the Bible, how do you respond to the Bible study who asked that? Dr. LaVos had his hand up.
Ask him.
Well, that's true, but what do you say as the Bible worker? There is a right answer here, I promise. There's two, three, then... So, yep, hit. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. My response to that person would be, you know, there's a lot of different reasons maybe why your pastor didn't share this with you. Maybe he didn't know.
My pastor knows everything.
And if he does know everything, maybe he didn't want to offend somebody in the congregation.
My pastor preaches just straight truth.
He doesn't care what the congregation
thinks. He
don't
care about offending. He is truthful.
Well, all right, I want to give everyone a chance. So go ahead, finish it. Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, sir, I don't have the answer to that.
There
question,
it is. But that what, is the answer. Is
really you got it.
I don't know why. So thank you. That is the answer, guys. I don't know why, but I do know how you feel. Let's pray about it. That is how you respond.
Because anything negative you say about their pastor, I don't know how. I mean, you know, like besides Jesse, most people hold their pastors in pretty high esteem. But
all right, Jesse, you have a question?
Yes, I do. You said you would pray about it.
Let's pray about it together.
How would you pray without offending that lady's or man's pastor?
What you do is you pray about that person. You pray over your Bible study interest. Lord, please show her how to get through this. Show her. Just be with her as she's struggling with this. You know, lift her up in prayer because she's going through a lot of hurt right now. Just try to address her feelings and give her an opportunity to share with Jesus. Say Chris asked me.
I'm going to avoid offending her at all costs. Because anything you say negative, most people love their pastors. And anything you say negative, they're going to defend their pastor and say, no, my pastor knows. My pastor's the smartest man. My pastor's the most holiest man.
He was there for my mom when she died and
yeah,
things
so
like
if
that.
If you say anything that could lead negative, you've lost that person. So I'm just going to pray for the...
Right, but she has to find, the thing is, she's going to try to find that answer on her. William, do you have are you waving at me?
Yeah,
yes.
She's
One of the things that we have to know is that we don't have the answer.
Right.
So why should we answer that when we don't have the answer? In your case, you went to your pastor. That's the person that they have to go to. We have to just address their feelings,
exactly.
How they're feeling.
Yeah, the answer is we don't have the answer. I don't know why her pastor won't preach truth. I don't know why her pastor is not studying his Bible better. And so that's a simple, I don't know.
We have to.
I don't know. So you'll have to go ask him. You know?
We have to address her.
What was the question again? Could you ask the question again?
All right, you just got done studying the Sabbath.
Right.
And your Bible study asks you, why did my pastor not teach me this? Why did he keep this from me?
I gotcha. Yeah. That would be, and I was telling Pastor Gustavo, my answer would be the same thing. I don't know. The only thing I would add to that, possibly, if the situation allowed it, I would just share my testimony of how I discovered the Sabbath, you know? Whether or not, you know, it depends on the situation. But that
right, and obviously you want to read it because if she's heartbroken or he's heartbroken, you have to address the heartbreak.
Right. I mean, I've had that happen before, and the person did go back because they came to a seminar we did. And the person went back and questioned her elders and her pastor, And they didn't give her any good answers until she became a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, you know. So you got to let them kind of sometimes feel through this stuff, like you said, and just pray with them. You
know? That's why I was saying earlier, we never want to down another religion or attack any part of it, even we don't agree with it. If they say, well, why does the Methodist go to church on Sunday? Well, I don't know. You'll have to ask the Methodist that.
For us, it's always very easy to, because we do have the right biblical answers, to downplay and sometimes even degrade and insult other religious entities because they don't think the way we think. Honesty is always the best policy. When you're challenged with a question of that nature, the best thing for you to do is show them where it says it in the Bible so that they can go back to their pastor and say, look, I discovered this in the Bible. Can you explain this to me? And if they don't have any answers, because more than likely they're not going to have an answer, then you have just won that person's heart for Jesus Christ. Remember, we're not called to convince people. We're called to plant a seed. And you have planted a seed. Now let the Holy Spirit, not you, water that seed so that it grows. And that's what we need to do.
All right. Tim will be the next question, Miguel.
Let me say something real quick. And remember, you know, we say this all the time, but you need to question whether you actually believe it. God has people in all churches that really love Jesus. So we never want to go at people like we are smarter than them or know more than them.
Or better.
Or we're better than them or we're above them, because we're all equal. We're all sinners in need of grace, looking to get as close to Jesus as we possibly can. So we need to come to people as equal. It's just like when she said we was doing the same. She could teach me a thing or two. That would be awesome. I could really learn a lot. I'm always learning, always growing. Definitely, I look forward to see what you can teach me. And so we want to really not just say it, but understand that God really does have people in all churches that love Jesus with all their heart and doing the best they can with what knowledge they have.
But what happens if I say, for example, if we are growing together in faith? If it's my answer, for example, if you ask me, why my pastor not teach me about the Sabbath day? I say, we are growing about the faith. We are learning together about more about the Bible and love Jesus Christ.
We're growing.
Growing, uh-huh,
yes,
growing.
Okay. All right, Tim, you got a question?
Yeah. Would it be correct to say, we'll pray about this, and like Brother Abner said, but while you're talking to this person, say, are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit give you the answer, because I don't have it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's another big thing. You're not there to do the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not my job. I tell people all the time, I'm not a police officer. I'm a pastor. My job is to share the truth with you, and I'm not going to come and raid your fridge and say, I got you. Got that sausage in there. You're caught now. No, I'm going to share truth with you, and it's up to you and the Holy Spirit to work out what you're going to do with that truth. I'm not a police officer. I'm not following you around, trying to catch you doing something.
That's really important, because we can... At times, we've been called to serve God, but we believe that we've been given the task of the Holy Spirit. Don't confuse that, please. Your job is not to transform people. Your job is to be in a journey with the people and teach them about Christ. And as they get to know Christ, the Holy Spirit will be doing his job. It's not your job. So if you try really hard to change them, you will alienate them, you will push them away, and you will lose them. Let the Holy Spirit do its job, and you just collaborate with it.
All right, let's do one more scenario I have, and we'll pitch this one at Heroes and Pastor Walter here. All right, I'm sharing scenarios that I've been part of. Pastor Chris is sharing scenarios that he's been part of, because they're close to our hearts. This one just happened a few years ago. We just had a great evangelism series. People are ready to get baptized, but they won't baptize this lady because she won't take off her husband's wedding band, who she just lost. How do you address it?
How do you address it to the lady?
She wants to be baptized, but people are telling her she can't be baptized with that. How do we do it? Members. No. How do we address this? We just baptized her. Yeah, I did. But...
There you go.
Let's go. Yeah, go for it.
So, Rolf Lindfors was an evangelist back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, and he told me he and his partner would go into a town during the day. They would go out separately to Bible study, you know, people that were coming to the meetings. And they had an agreement that if there was somebody they couldn't make progress with, they'd tell the other one to go. So finally his partner came to him and said, you know, old Lady Jones, Widow Jones has been coming. I just can't make any progress with her. Maybe you need to go see her. And he said to me that this was well through the series of meetings. They were nearing the end. And so they had covered these things already. And of course, think about the time this happened. Even more conservative back in those days, right? So he goes to the lady, and she invites him in. She's very gracious. And you know, after a little bit of talk, he just starts touching lightly on each of the points that have been presented night to night. Each time she's in total agreement. And finally, after he was done with that, he said, well, I'm just curious, what would keep you from committing yourself totally to Jesus at this time and by baptism? And she said, well, that other preacher, he told me I have to take this wedding band off, or I can't be baptized. And she said, my husband put this on, and it'll come off when he takes it off. Oof. And he's dead, folks. You know.
So what do we do?
So he said, well, I'm not here to ask you to take it off. But let me ask you one question. If he said, I can tell you really love Jesus. And she said, oh, yes, I love him with all my heart. He said, let me ask you, if Jesus asked you to take it off, would you? And he said she hated that question. She squirmed in her chair and fidgeted with her ring and finally kind of exasperated. She said, well, yes, if Jesus himself asked me to take it off, I would take it off. He said, I'm fine with that. And they prayed and he left. They never talked about it between them following that. And she came to the meeting that night. He stood outside. He was shaking hands and here she comes. And she's happy and doesn't say anything about the ring. But he noticed she kept running her hand through her hair. And the ring was gone.
So who did the work there?
Jesus. Yeah, the Holy Spirit, not him.
If God, we cannot be the Holy Spirit, first of all. We've already said this. We cannot push people to make something, a decision that we want them to make. We have to push somebody to follow God's will, say, hey, you have to follow whatever God tells you. We can give them a gentle guidance, not push. That's not the right word. The only thing we can do is allow the Holy Spirit in.
I think if you are a Bible worker or a pastor, because those things, I mean, you made reference to the past that that's how it was. But I get to see a lot of things still happening. For instance, in one Bible study, this person was giving a Bible study, and then they had covered already about the diet. The next Bible study, he comes in and opens the refrigerator of this member of this Bible study's house, and starts pointing out, yeah, you need to cut this, you need to cut this, you need to cut this.
Wait a minute, in their house?
In her house, yes. That was it. She didn't want to continue having the Bible studies anymore. Another thing, and this is true, and Eddie knows the person, and I don't even want to say the name, but this is another thing also when I mentioned before about just doing everything systematically and not caring really for the person as a soul. This person was giving Bible study, like he was probably giving like 10 Bible studies. And then the person who was getting the Bible study says, you know, I don't want these Bible studies anymore. And the Bible worker said, really, why not? No, I just don't want to take them. So he stopped giving those Bible studies. Then, after a while, like a month or 2 months, that Bible worker was with me, and we saw the person. And I said hi, and the person came up and said to the Bible worker, why don't you talk to me anymore? It seems like you are upset. I thought you were my friend. What happened was that the Bible worker was really upset because the person didn't want to take Bible studies anymore. Because it was very systematic, just reading, giving information. You have to create that connection with the person. They're not fools. They know if you really care for them. They know if you really care for them.
One thing I do, especially with like the food, in the South where I'm from, we raise our own hogs. And we take them to the slaughterhouse. And you're trying to take my pork chops and my bacon and my sausage. And you're taking ham for Christmas and Thanksgiving. We don't want turkey. We want ham. Turkey's dry and nasty. I want a big, juicy ham with bacon wrapped around it and some nice glaze and pineapples and cherries stabbed in it. So what I do is, like with Ruth, she said, man, what am I supposed to eat? You know what I did?
I went
to
bacon.
Walmart. I got her. She loves the bacon, by the way. I went to Walmart, and I bought the struples, and I bought some different veggie things, some burger patties and everything else, and I took it back, and I cooked for her right in her kitchen. And
served. Oh, my goodness.
And you don't have to cook it for them, but you can offer them some alternatives. Try this, and I don't know if you've had veggie bacon or not, but it's delicious if you cook it right.
Going back, I just want to say one more thing about the wedding band. And I mentioned before two things that we have to keep in mind is that the principles and the norms and understanding the gospel. Salvation, the thief on the cross. At that point, all he needed to know to be saved, that the one who was being crucified there was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and Jesus Christ told him, you will be in paradise with me. Well, you wonder what happened with everything else. Listen, the substance of every Bible study is Jesus Christ and his righteousness.
Amen.
If that is not there, what you're creating is a legalist. Who's gonna make those changes out of like human effort, but the substance is not there.
A healthy sinner.
And I would say be careful to make a test of what is not a test. Be careful, because one day you're gonna give account for that soul that may be lost. Like that wedding band that was making that test of salvation. You look at the Bible, is that really a test of salvation? And if you understand the gospel, the problem is not gold. We're told that in heaven we'll have what? The streets of what? Gold. So it's not gold, the evil thing. It's our motives, the motives that we have behind that. And only God can judge that. And but even what I see there, that the reason why she was having that wedding band, it was because the attachment that he had towards her husband, right?
Amen.
So her motives were not sinful. For nothing. So what I'm saying is, make sure you understand the gospel. Make sure that if the person is going to make those changes, it's going to be as a result of having that encounter with Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the substance. Otherwise, you will be creating someone who's going to be a legalist. Yeah. And that's why we have problems right now in our conference. Because what we have created is just people that are being told to do things without having that substance and that experience with Jesus Christ.